Jou middag motivering op Spectrum met Johan.
Die bekende bedieningsorganisasie Geopende Deure Suid-Afrika, wat die vervolgde kerk reg oor die wêreld ondersteun en versterk, het Lynet Leybach onlangs as sy nuwe uitvoerende direkteur aangestel. En Lynet Leybach, sy neem die leidsels oor by Jan Gous, wat op die 31ste Augustus 2021 na meer as 30 jaar in diens van hierdie organisasie afgetree het. Lynet is ook die eerste vrou in hierdie leierskapsposisie in die geskiedenis van Geopende Deure en my voorreg om vanmiddag met Lynet te gesels. Lynet, good afternoon and welcome. It's a privilege to have you on air with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Johan. Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you so much, Lynet. At Open Doors South Africa, we have a lady. Well, we don't have many ladies in political positions at the top jobs, but we are proud of you taking over from Jan Gous at Open Doors South Africa. Tell us, what is your vision as the lady boss, if I may call you that, of Open Doors South Africa that the Lord has given you?
Thanks, Johan. Yes, it's fun being called the lady boss. I believe that the God-given vision for Open Doors Southern Africa is that we would just build on the foundations that have been laid and the work that's been done over the last 50 years. It's also our jubilee. But to build on that, and the verse that springs to mind is Psalm 1, that we would be like a well-watered tree whose leaf doesn't wither, but who bears fruit within season. And that is my vision for the organization, that we will become like that well-watered tree to provide shelter, support, and all life necessities, especially prayer support to the persecuted church.
Lynet, you are talking about the persecuted church, and many listeners and many people think that there are no persecuted people in the world anymore. We see the persecuted political situation, say, for instance, in Afghanistan or wherever in the world, but so many people do not have the perception and the vision in their minds. They're so used to, well, in the pandemic time, we don't go to church as we used to before the pandemic, but so used to belonging to a church or a congregation or a cell group or whatever, and we don't think about people being persecuted for their faith. Just give us an insight into the persecution of the body of Christ.
Yes. Sadly, the persecution is very real. There's around 340 million Christians who are persecuted for their faith, and that is in more than 60 countries across the world. And persecution has various ways that people can be persecuted, subtle and not so subtle. We work with the most persecuted Christians, and that would be where they are oppressed, where they are imprisoned, where they are actually in grave danger as Christians. And it's very real. It's very real.
Lynet, just give us, if I may ask, an insight into a Christian being in prison. It's not a luxury prison. It's something very real, something very different. Give us an insight, practically, what are they going through?
Well, firstly, they're seen as second-class citizens, which means that they don't have access to the rights that you would expect someone to have. And being imprisoned does not mean a clean cell where food, bedding, clothing, medical care is provided. For many people imprisoned, especially in the top number of countries where persecution is rife, it means that they are isolated. If their family or friends or someone don't provide them with food, they would starve. They don't have the necessities. So it's not the Western view of prison at all. Mm. And it would include physical harm, torture, in many of the cases.
The Netan, what does it do to their faith? What, how do they handle it, faith-wise? Do they grow? Do they grow through the persecution in spiritual sense, as we read in the Bible? What are your records?
Well, it's counterintuitive that the church has always grown under conditions of persecution. And, of course, every individual's situation is different. But we've recently heard about a person who was given a pen to write down the names of his friends and family that were Christians, or he would be imprisoned. And instead of doing that and outing his family and friends, he actually used the pen to write prayers on the walls within the cell that he was put in as encouragement for future Christian prisoners. So, of course, it differs from person to person, but that is the real reason for the existence of Open Doors, to support our fellow believers who are persecuted to remain strong, so that the kingdom of God, God's presence, can remain in the most hard places.
What would you say should our content be in our prayer life for the persecuted church around the world?
Well, there's many things to pray for, and we actually send out a bi-monthly prayer request for the countries with very specifics to pray for. And our prayer life should be for them for strength, for their inner man to be strengthened as they go through these very hard situations. It's for safety, for security, for just the provision that we would take for granted, for families to be able to be together, to not be separated, especially for women and girls who often bear the brunt of persecution and have to be, especially in Muslim countries where they often are married off or abducted, to be married. So protection and strength.
Lynette, often people say they don't know how people can handle persecution, as we read in the Bible, as we hear from the testimonies. What do these Christians, how do they testify to the hardship and the persecution and the trials and tribulations? What do they say?
Well, it's really the strength of relationship with Jesus, and that comes across very clearly, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Scripture, that you will be given the words to say at the time when you are questioned or you are in front of authorities. And it's that strength that comes from discipleship training, leadership training, access to the Word, that keep them strong during those times. But it's not a fairy tale. I mean, often people would want to flee. They, we see refugees, and they need strength to remain.
Lynette, back to yourself. You just came back from New Zealand, and give us an insight into the body of Christ, the church in New Zealand.
Yes. I was fortunate to have a great adventure over the last 4 years in New Zealand, and I was part of a local Baptist church close to where we stayed. And yes, my insight would be that part of the body of Christ, they are really focused on the Word of God, on learning. They are blessed in the sense that there's generations of Christians. The church that I participated in and made friends in, we're actually, they've been in the same area for hundreds of years, so generations of people worshipping there. But they have a real heart for missions and for the world, and that was really so encouraging, that they were not just looking at themselves introspectively, but they have a heart for missions. And especially in a country like New Zealand, although the COVID pandemic has not affected them in the same way that it has in many other countries, they are cut off to some extent from the rest of the world at the moment. And they've really also had to find new ways of worshipping, of connecting, just like the church in South Africa has had to do.
Lynette, welcome back in South Africa, and we are so proud of you in the position the Lord has called you to serve at Open Doors. May the Lord God Almighty just bless you and keep you, and just give us a contact where people can find Open Doors if they have yet not.
Yes, so definitely you can go to the website, so it's opendoors.org.za, and if you wanted to get in contact with us directly, you can also send an email to southafrica@od.org, and you can. We'd love to hear from you.
Lynette, thank you so much for taking time being with us this afternoon. God bless, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may you have a wonderful, blessed evening.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you.
Good night.